Some have suggested that our dictionary perhaps may have to be revised before too long because of the change in a lot of the definitions of some words. Indeed, there are a lot of words today that have kind of changed a little bit from the old tried and true definitions that we've known for so very long. Someone has suggested that perhaps there may be a change in the word faithfulness. In fact, they said there may be a notation next to that word in the dictionary that reads like this: a once prized characteristic of human character, which is now extinct. That's a little bit shocking. But I'm afraid it may not be as far-fetched as it sounds on the surface. People are no longer as faithful to keep their word today as they once were. And a multitude of problems have arisen out of that very fact that have much to do with daily life in our society today. Marriages are breaking up because people are not faithful to their vows. It hasn't always been that way. Those who study such things tell us that it's getting worse and worse as time goes on. Friendships end in bitterness because of lack of faithfulness on the part of even friends. And, of course, churches today particularly suffer because of a lack of faithfulness. One of the ways that we see a lack of faithfulness illustrated in the local church is a lack of faithfulness in attendance to worship services and Bible class assemblies. It is a problem. It's a problem that's costing the church in many ways. It's a problem here at Redland Road. It's a problem practically everywhere you might visit. Now, some of the things that I'm prepared to say this morning are going to hit some of us pretty hard. I don't apologize for stepping on our toes if we need our toes stepped on. You see, part of my responsibility here is to proclaim the whole counsel of God, and this is a subject that we need to give our full attention to. And it may very well be that the majority of those assembled here this morning wouldn't think of flippantly neglecting to attend worship services at any opportunity. But even with that, there are many things that we need to be reminded of. Some very important things on the subject of faithfulness in our attendance to worship services and Bible classes. Now, before we go any further, let's clear the air and let's define what we're talking about. When we talk about unfaithfulness and neglecting to attend worship services, we're not making reference to those who are unable to attend at any given time due to illness or poor health or frailty because of old age or maybe even occasional shift work. Rather, we are talking about those who choose not to attend worship services. Those who very well could be here but have decided not to come. Those who just don't particularly want to be present. I'm afraid there are some folks in the Lord's church who, well, they seek every opportunity and excuse not to attend worship services because they just don't consider worship assemblies to be all that important. It may very well be that there are some who consider the expectation, if we were to express an expectation, expecting every member of the Lord's body to be present at every assembly of the church whenever possible at all, why, some folks would say, you know, that's just expecting a little too much. I don't think that the church has any right to expect that out of me. I hope we'll all give careful attention to the things that I want to share with you this morning. I heard about two fellows who were on the lake fishing one Sunday morning, and they were feeling a little bit guilty about skipping worship services, especially since the fish just absolutely weren't biting at all. And one of them looked at the other one and he says, "You know, I see now, I should have stayed at home and went to church." The other one says, "Yeah, I guess so, but you know, I couldn't have gone to church anyway because my wife's sick in the bed." I want to begin this morning by commending you for being here. Your presence here today is an encouragement to me, and I think we all feel the same way about that. And I hope and pray that every single one of us are right now planning to be back tonight at 5 o'clock and to be here Wednesday evening at 7 for Bible study. And if you weren't planning that already, I hope by the conclusion of this lesson that you will be. Our lesson text that I'd like to begin with this morning is Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 23 and reading through verse 25, where the writer says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking of our own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Now, our study this morning is going to be fairly simple. There are three points that I'd like for us to cover. And the first one is this: why worship is important. You know, when we were kids, we'd ask our parents, because we... we were there every time the doors were opened. There were 13 congregations of the Lord's Church in Lamar County, and all summer long, you know, somebody had a meeting going on at one place or the other, and so we were always somewhere, almost it seems every night of the summer, and inevitably the question would always come, do we have to go to church? Do we really have to? And the answer that I can remember always was, we don't have to, we get to, and we want to. You know, that ought to remind all of us how important it is that we instill in the minds, the hearts of our children, the importance of our relationship with the Lord that is reflected by the way we attend worship services. I'm afraid there's something wrong in the heart of a child of God when he or she looks for every opportunity to avoid attendance at worship services or Bible classes. We have been cleansed by the blood of the spotless Son of God who gave himself for us, suffering on Calvary's cross in order to pay the price for our sins. You remember in Luke chapter 17, Jesus cleansed those 10 lepers who came to him. And you remember only one of the 10, once he realized that the leprosy was gone, turned around immediately and came back to the Lord and thanked him for what he had done. And you also remember, no doubt, that Jesus expressed what I would call dismay over the fact that there were 10 who were cleansed, and only one of them came back to say thank you. I fail to see any difference between the 9 in that story who failed to express their gratitude. No difference at all that I can see between those folks and church members today who are looking for every opportunity to neglect the attendance of worship services. In fact, let me suggest 2 very great reasons why a worship assembly is vitally important. Number 1, there are what I call the horizontal considerations. Now, horizontal has to do with that which goes this way. When I say the horizontal considerations, I'm referring to those considerations that have to do with the relationships between you and I. This and every single gathering of our regularly scheduled services represents an opportunity for you and I to physically join together with all of the other members of this congregation as a part of that great body of which we're all a part. We are each a part of that body, and each part is vitally important. In fact, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, points out the relationship that we have with one another in the support role and also the strengthening that we receive from Christ. He says, "From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." Occasions like today allow us to renew our zeal in the presence of each other, encouraging one another, singing together, praying together, studying together, communing together at the table with the sacrifice of our Lord, and giving together. If you take the together out of Christianity, you don't have anything left. And if everybody had the same respect for the together aspect of Christianity as I do, or as you do, where would this church be? If you want to get a real appreciation for the concept of the group setting of public worship assembly, just imagine doing it all alone, all by yourself. I assure you that such would not hold the mutual benefits that we share, that are emphasized by our coming together in our worship assemblies. Folks, you know something? The words to that old song are not just empty rhymes. "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts, our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear." There are many horizontal considerations that make worship assemblies just like this very important. But then, in the second place, there are some vertical considerations. As you know, vertical has to do with up and down. And I use that to represent the importance of our relationship with heaven. Worship assemblies are a vital link between God's children and heaven. Now, we don't come here because we like to hear the preacher. I hope you like to hear the preacher, but I'm sure that that doesn't need to be the reason for your coming here. We don't come here because we have some feeling that we've got to somehow punch the clock, show up, you know, do our duty, or pay our dues, so to speak. That's not why we're here. We've come here to be with Jesus. Jesus said himself, "For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I'm there in their midst." We're here because this is where Jesus is. Part of our reason for being here, part of the very concept of corporate worship, is to gather in the presence of God in the company of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our service in God's kingdom must be characterized by a thankfulness to Him and a loyalty that lunges at every opportunity to worship Him and to learn of Him. Coming together like this strengthens our will. It strengthens our will by binding it closer to His will, recharging our batteries, as it were, so that we can live each successive day, as the old song says, near to the heart of God. But let's move on. One of the most important questions that I think we need to deal with is, what happens to me without the church? What goes on in my life when the church is not an important part? If perhaps I'm a member of the Lord's church, but my sense of faithfulness and loyalty is not what it should be, and so I just kind of show up every now and then, and the church is really, the church is not really a major part of my life. What happens to me if that's the case? Let me suggest, first of all, number one, that I will begin to drift. In fact, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it." The language of that verse, I understand, is reminiscent of the big sailing ships of that day who would proceed so carefully along the coastline, looking for the small opening into the harbor where the safety from the winds and the rough water could be found. And because of the cumbersome nature of those big vessels, it was essential that the captain pay very close attention, because if he weren't watching carefully to recognize the opening into the harbor, the boat would drift right on by. And it's hard enough to turn a pickup truck around. It's really tough to turn a sailboat around. Somebody says, "I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian." That's become a pretty popular idea. And I'm sorry to say we've taken up the bad habit of answering things like that in such a soft, soothing way, trying to keep from hurting anybody's feelings or being offensive. Listen very carefully to the real answer to that ridiculous notion. You can no more be a Christian without church attendance than you can be a fish if you don't live in the water. That is a lie of the devil. If you think you can be a Christian and you don't have to worship God, you don't have to attend the assemblies, you need to back up and start over. When you repeatedly forsake assembling for worship and Bible study, you begin a slow, steady drift away from the most important things in your life. Away from your Heavenly Father. Away from your brothers and sisters in the faith who love you and care for you. Away from your very appreciation of the Lord's sacrifice on your behalf. Number two, I will begin to doubt. If I neglect regular attendance to the church's assemblies, it won't be long before I'll have a problem with doubt. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, the writer said, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." When we miss more and more worship and Bible study assemblies, we begin to lose the sense of security, spiritual security. And we see a spread of spiritual weakness. You know what one of the symptoms of that kind of spiritual weakness is that grows out of a loss of spiritual security? It's the tendency to shirk our responsibilities and then blame other people for our failures. And we say things like, "Folks over at that church, they really let me down. That preacher, he really let me. Those elders, they really let me down. Those teachers, that teacher, he really..." We begin to blame everybody else for our problems as we begin to doubt. Number three, I become dull of hearing. In Hebrews 5, verse 11, the writer says this. He says, "About this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing." You may remember that's the passage where he goes on and he talks about the fact that those brethren couldn't stand, they couldn't digest the important things that they needed to be taught because they needed someone to come back and teach them again the basic elementary things, and they were unable to teach anybody else themselves. Without regular and steady exposure to fellowship, teaching and preaching and interaction, our spiritual senses become dulled. And when our spiritual senses become... 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 is the passage that uses that terminology, describing some whose consciences had become seared as with a hot iron. We become insensitive to the appeal of truth and to the strength of truth. We need worship assemblies to keep us strong. And then number four, without the church and regular attendance, I begin to backslide. From Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, "In the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame." Now, folks, I understand that passage describes a far extreme. The point at which one becomes so wrapped up in sin, even after having become a child of God, but goes back into sin, even going through and past the point that Peter described when he said the latter end is worse than the beginning. Like the sow that's been washed, returning to wallow in the mire, and the dog turns and laps up his own vomit again. That's how God sees it when we backslide and become unfaithful. And if we continue in that unfaithfulness, there will come a time, a point at which it will be impossible to renew us to repentance. Some people seem to think that a child of God cannot fall. Big lie. The devil's lie. Without regular attendance, we lose ground on every front. God gets distant. The devil gets close. But in the last few minutes, let's turn this thing around. And let's look for just a minute at what happens to the church without me. When I neglect attending worship services, when I make the conscious choice that even though I'm perfectly healthy enough, have the opportunity to attend worship services, but I just decide not to. Have you ever thought about what happens to the church as a result of that kind of behavior? Consider, first of all, that so far as my own life is concerned, then the church is left without defense. Satan, the devil, he hates Redland Road Church of Christ. You knew that already. Somehow I think it's important to say it, though. The devil hates this church. He hates every aspect of it. He hates our teaching. He hates our outreach efforts. He hates our website. He hates our mission work in Mexico and in other places that we support. He hates every single faithful member of this congregation. But when I become negligent with my attendance, he loves it. He jumps for joy. He becomes ecstatic because that means there is one less credible voice. There is one less soldier for the battle. There was a little old man who was always seen every Sunday morning walking to church. He was totally deaf, couldn't hear a word or a sound. Nothing that anybody said made it through, and he couldn't hear any of the preaching or the teaching or the singing or the praying in the assembly. And a scoffer stopped him one day on the way to church, and with the benefit of sign language, he wanted to know, why do you spend your Sundays in church when you can't hear a word of what's going on? And the old man replied carefully, I want my neighbors to know which side I'm on. When you become unfaithful in your attendance, so far as your life is concerned, the church is without defense. If you become unfaithful, the growth of the church is hindered. Because you see, we each, every one of us, every member of this congregation holds the power within us of the growth and the progress of the Lord's kingdom in whatever little area of life we operate in. Commonly, people will ask me, how many members you got at Redland Road? And I'll usually answer, well, attendance on a good Sunday morning is sometimes around 150. But I have to go on and say, but on a normal Sunday night or Wednesday night, about a third of them don't come back. About a third of them don't come back. Have you ever thought about the fact that if you don't attend regularly, so far as the growth and the strength of this congregation is concerned, you don't count? I don't say that in a mean way. I don't mean we're leaving you out. I'm saying it in a sad way. Because your capacity to benefit the Lord's cause is hindered. And so far as you're concerned, you're standing in the way of the growth and the progress of the church. That's what happens to the church without you, without me. Why would we do that to the body of our Lord and Savior if we have the ability to do otherwise? And then finally, without me, without you, there is one less recommendation for the cause. My faithfulness, your faithfulness, to defend and promote the church is hampered by unfaithful attendance. So you see, in spite of the fact that a lot of folks say, they'll never miss me, I'm just one in a crowd, you know, it doesn't matter. It matters. We're not in a contest with the congregation down the road to see who can have the most people here. I'll be honest and tell you, I'd like nothing better than to see this auditorium slap full. But that's not what we're about. What our focus needs to be on, rather, is on trying to make sure that every single one of us, every one of us who are here today, and all of those who should be here, could be here. And there are some, I can assure you, who would like better than anything on this earth to be here today, but are unable to. And let me say that for the most part, they put us to shame. And those who are here today, who by my standards and your standards aren't able to be here, but they've come anyway. What a wonderful example. What a tremendous encouragement. But what we ought to be about is trying to make sure that every one of us who are members of this congregation is doing everything that we can to further the cause of Jesus Christ in this community, in this little spot of the earth, to grow, to become stronger ourselves, and to help one another to become stronger as we fit together in this great building, the body of Jesus Christ. I want to leave this passage on your minds as we close. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and then verses 46 and 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers, and day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. The Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Is your level of faithfulness what it needs to be? For your sake, for the church's sake. If you've been unfaithful, why not correct that? Be restored to faithful service. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, why wait a day longer to do the most important thing you could ever do? Believe in Jesus as God's Son. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins.